Hey, but let's open up our Bibles, though, to Galatians. So Galatians chapter 4 is where we're going to land today. I always find it sad for the poor parent that has to go downstairs and, like, drop their kid off, and, like, I'm making this bold statement right out of the gate, right? And then they kind of come in halfway. Where is he going? Where are we at with this message? So let's start with reading, and then I'll make the statement here. So in Galatians chapter 4, there's the subheading in verse 21. It says, Hagar and Sarah. And so I just want to read the last portion of that and then kind of start dissecting or breaking it down verse by verse, because I feel like when you read this, you're going to be excited about hearing the word of God like we should be. And then, like me, you're going to scratch your head and go, I'm not sure if I fully comprehend what just was read there, said there. So let's read it together. So in verse 21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son of the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the woman represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears the children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Abur, or in Arabia, and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is under our mother, and she is our mother. For it is written, and then he quotes Isaiah 54 here. It's the only time we would see the Apostle Paul, honestly, in Galatians, use a quote representing Old Testament. So he quotes here Isaiah 54, verse 1. Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud. You have no labor pains, because no more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. And at that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, wrapping it all up with a nice bow, brothers, we're not children of the slave woman, but we're children of the free woman. Now, when you read that, I think at the end point, you can kind of like, therefore, we kind of wrap it up together. We think, okay, I kind of get what he's making a point there. But I want to just help us to really understand. So I'm going to pretend like we're going to make a gigantic foundation right now. We've got a cement truck, and we're going to just start throwing facts at the cement truck so we can make a great foundation. Then we'll stand upon this foundation and make a biblical, bold statement in Jesus' name. But we've got to understand the foundation. You have to understand what all of that just meant. Otherwise, we can just cherry pick something and kind of go off topic. So here we go. So again, let's just look at it, overarching Galatians. So Paul went around and planted churches. And then he would often write books to the churches. This one is actually not that. He went around all of Galatia. We'll read here in Acts 18:23. This is not a specific church he's writing to, but a region of people. It says here, after spending some time in Antioch, Paul sent out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region, this whole region. So he's speaking to this whole province or a territory, speaking this overarching theme, because the people are being deceived. They're being distracted. Because at that time, what was happening was these people were called Judaizers, and they were representing the law. They said, we've got the Old Testament law here. You should follow it. This teaching of Paul is crazy. This talking about Jesus Christ and the new covenant, you don't want to listen to that stuff. So the Apostle Paul here is writing to them saying, believe in Jesus. Yes, we've got the Old Testament. Yes, we've got those laws, but believe in the Lord God. So again, they were believing in the Torah, like the Old Testament law, the first five books of the Bible. Actually, they had that written down. And maybe we would want to challenge that as well. You're thinking about like the church. Like we've got this Bible here, but somebody's bringing a new teaching. We should definitely question that, shouldn't we? We should be like, hold on here, Pastor Rob, verse 1, that doesn't exist in my Bible, so we probably shouldn't believe it, right? You would question those things. And I think the story here is very similar to that. There's false teachers the Apostle Paul brings a certain message, and are they going to believe that? So that's where we get this overarching theme here. Apostle Paul's teaching these people. So in verse 21, the very first verse we'll dissect, it says, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says?" And so he's questioning the people in this whole area, like, don't you understand the law, actually what it said in the Old Testament? Because you hear it all the time. So tell me, he says this, because they would read the Old Testament law in the public squares every Sabbath, every week, read it out loud. Don't you understand what it says? Because sometimes we can hear it, like I just read you this Galatian part. You can hear that, and it will actually change you internally. The spiritual, there's enough authority in here to change you. But sometimes we have to just take it apart, unlearn some things and learn some new things. So what does the law actually say? And I love it in the next two verses. So verse 22 and verse 23. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way." We're going to follow that. "But his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise." He's actually reading or sharing a story that we would find in the Old Testament, in the Torah, that they were hearing all the time. They would know this story off by heart. They would probably memorize it. They could teach it. It was a Sunday school class. Everybody knew it. So he's speaking of that. He's using what they already knew to make a point. And we're going to make that point real soon. So the son of the slave woman, even though if we think back to the Old Testament, let's read it here in Genesis chapter 21, this story about the slave woman and the son. It says in verse 13, "I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Abraham and Sarah went ahead of God. I'm going to dissect it a little bit more, and thought, we're not going to have a kid, so we better get the maidservant. Abraham, you go sleep with the maidservant so we can have a son, because I'm old and wrinkled, and it's not ever going to happen. So they went ahead, and God still blessed the son that was not of the promise. "Lift the boy up and take him by the hand," in verse 18, "for I will make him into a great nation." Even though the person was a mistake, God still blessed him. I love that idea. We go outside of God's will all the time. We make mistakes all the time. And God says, "I'll still bless that. I'll still use that. But it's not the best. It's not the promise that I have for you." And we want the best, don't we? Man, if we do anything, wouldn't you want that? You think, I just want mediocre. I just want to be okay. And you're like, why would you ever desire that? Don't the innermost being of your body desire the best? And so how do we find that? So that is a representation of what is not the best, but God still used it. Let's keep unpacking this a bit further. In Genesis verse 15, again, they would know the story. When the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your body will be your heir." Abraham and Sarah were worried that, okay, God's promised me all this inheritance. We don't have a kid. I've got a bunch of servants here. Now they're going to inherit the house. They're going to inherit my kingdom. They're going to inherit the business. So we better have a son through my maidservant. So we see clearly here, God's like, again, that's not the best. I know you're trying to go ahead of me and make decisions. Let's keep looking at this a bit further, because the Old Testament, again, is what they knew. It was their bread and butter. Chapter 17, verse 21. "But my covenant I will establish with," not the servant, not the servant's son, "but I'm going to establish it with this guy named Isaac," and he's just speaking prophetically here, "whom Sarah will bear to you in the next year," in this time next year. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. "But God said to him, don't be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." And we see so clearly here that the birth of Ishmael, so the wrong son, was in accordance to what was a natural thing, right? So Sarah says to the maidservant, "Okay, look at me. I'm ancient. Like, this body ain't going to have a kid. So you are young, and you're going to have a kid on our behalf." And we see that. We see, that's a natural thing, right? Abraham and this young-looking thing are going to have a kid. I get that. I can see that working out. And God says, oh, no, no, no. Not like that. That's a human. That's your own efforts. That's you trying to get in the wheel and start driving this thing. But God says, watch this. Now remember, this is after the flood. This is after Noah. This is after the new covenant of 125 years only. Prior flood, hundreds of years. And you could say, oh, she's only 100. That's just, you know, young teenager, right? Back before the flood. But after the flood, 125 is all you get, maximum. So she's close. She's about 90-ish. And God says this to her. Who's 90 here-ish? Who wants to admit that? You know, I'm halfway. Joe and I are halfway there, 45. And so please don't let me throw you under the bus. We love old people. We love seniors. But just like if you're 90-ish, think about this right now. And God said you can have a kid. Ouch. Are you kidding me? Like that's just impossible. But that's the promise. That's the miracle. That's the blessing. That's what we want is the impossible. The things that are natural that you and I can control, the flesh, it's okay. But we want something that's miraculous, that's impossible to see. And that's what God is promising you, that we would believe that God could do the miraculous and do a miracle in this person's life. So that's what we're reading here in the story. We understand the wrong way to do it, but we understand that there's a miracle waiting to happen here. And the Apostle Paul is trying to teach some of this. We got to keep breaking it down more. We're adding more and more mixture to this foundation here. So verse 24 and 25. These things may be taken figuratively, for the woman represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. We don't want kids to be, well, we want them to slave around the house, yes, and mow our grass and do the dishes, but not spiritually. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem. Okay. So we've got to understand, why is Paul saying that stuff? Because it seems pretty heavy. Why is he so specific on location? So Mount Sinai in Arabia, it's a region that at that time when he wrote it was controlled by Arabs. And these Arabs lived all over the east and the south and the northwest, all in Judea and Galilee. And they were descendants of Hagar's and of Ishmael. So it's like Ishmaelites. And so those people were in that area. So Paul wants to make it clear is that that's actually not what we want. You know, we could see it so clearly. You could see these people. I'm talking to these people. They're real people. They had really interacted with them. They probably had relationships with them. And God is saying, that's not what God wants to do in and through God's people. So in verse 26, it says this, but the Jerusalem that is above is free. And she is our mother. There's this contrast, right, of doing it our way. And we see the results of it. And God is saying, why don't we do it my way? That's about Jerusalem. That's about above. That's about freedom. So Jewish people celebrated the biblical promise of a new Jerusalem. So we're going to see it prophetically in Isaiah. So in Isaiah 65, we'll speak about this Jerusalem that is above and that's free. This is, oh, love scripture, love the Old Testament, love all these prophetic words. So it says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, for the former things will be not remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. This is about freedom. This is about finding joy, and we can find all that when we find Jesus, we find Jerusalem, we do it God's way, and God will do it miraculously for us. So continue to dissect this a little bit further, verse 28 and 29. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way was persecuted, the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is now the same. So the son, again, born in the ordinary way, Ishmael, is not the son that's born in the spirit or that's the promised seed. We understand, see, there's two different things going on. We're comparing the differences. Paul, remember, reintroduces this idea of the flesh, doing it in the fleshly way without seeking the Lord, or doing it in the spiritual way. We really want to get that. I just got to pay this foundation to make this statement. Otherwise, I'm just making a statement and it won't make a lot of sense. So let me explain it to you further in the Old Testament again. And now in Ezekiel. Wow, we haven't read Ezekiel in a while. So good. Love Ezekiel. Ezekiel 26 or 36, verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your iniquities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit. There it is, right inside of you. I will remove from you that heart of stone, that heart of flesh. You see the difference here? You need the spirit. You don't need the flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and you'll move to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Following the laws is just fleshly. The only way you'll ever follow God's decrees is if you got the spirit living inside of you. And when you got the spirit living inside of you, you desire to follow the laws, not the other way around. You see how clear that is? The Apostle Paul's like, let me use some Old Testament scripture because you've heard it again and again and again. Stop operating in the flesh. These Judaizers were coming around speaking against Paul's teaching about following Jesus, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, getting baptized. That's all nonsense. Get back to the law. Get back to following the law. Good luck. Like, it's impossible to follow it without the Spirit of God inside of you. Have you tried it? How is it gone? It's pretty hard, isn't it? And so we cry out, Abba Father, give me your spirit inside of me so I can follow your ways. Without that, you are fleshly. Without that, you got the wrong mindset. And the Apostle Paul here is just trying to help us to understand that. Verse 30, we're almost there. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. Oh, that's terrible to hear, but just, it's not that way. Let me just help you understand it. For the slave woman will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. He's making a point. He's using the Old Testament scripture story, a real story with real names, real people, and God blessed them and took care of them, but he's using it to make a point. Not to, take the mistake, the slave woman's a mistake, and her son, that's a mistake. Get him out of here. God doesn't like those kind of people. Like, that's not what he's saying here. Make sure you understand that. He's using the story to make a point. If you're going to do things in the fleshly way, get rid of it. Kick it out. Because you want the spiritual way. You want the miraculous ways. That's what the point is here. So there's those two covenants again. Hagar represented what happened on Mount Sinai where God gave the law. Gave the law. There's this covenant of law. You know, give them the rules. Give them the ABCs. How did that go for those guys? God had to, it was not good. We could go back. That's a whole different sermon. It didn't work out so great for them, did it? But then God knew that there was going to be this new covenant in Christ Jesus, in the cross, in his blood sacrifice. And that's what the Apostle Paul was teaching them. He said, yes to the law. The law is great. But there's this new guy in town. His name is Jesus. And you need the Holy Spirit. And the people were like going, I actually don't have that, scripture. All I have is the Old Testament. And that's all I'm going to defer or go back to. And Paul's saying, you've got to be free from that. Get free in Jesus' name. It would be the same for you and I before you knew Christ. You came to church, you came to Christ, you came around, you thought, whoa, there's a lot of laws we got to follow around here, a lot of do's and don'ts. That's impossible. And then you came to the same realization that I need the Holy Spirit. And when I have the Holy Spirit, then I can do what God is asking me to do. I can look Christian. I can act Christian. I can have different thoughts than I used to have. But without that, you're lost and you're broken and you'll leave the church going, it's impossible to measure up. That bar is way too high. And God's saying, the Holy Spirit can help you to get there. Isn't that just a great thought? Verse 28. Now you brothers like Isaac are children of a promise. We are this promise. We as Christians who have accepted Christ and rely upon him and look for justification and salvation in him alone become spiritual. So we're entitled to the promise. We're entitled to that kind of inheritance because we have the right connection. We have the right covenant. We're in right relationship with God. So we inherit that promise. Verse 29, at that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same today. I am challenged by this thought that those Jewish people, those Judaizers that were trying to pull them back to the law, they were bloody tenacious, man. They were just like, we'll use all kinds of angles. They would even say to them, like, I know the Apostle Paul was having some conflict or some challenges with other Christians because of their belief system, even Peter and James. And they would say, these Judaizers would go, we don't believe Paul. Paul's crazy. Because we actually follow the teaching of Peter and James and these other guys. And trying to win them over. They're doing whatever they can to like get them to come down to their reality of like in the flesh. We've got to just do it in the flesh. Get circumcised. Wear these certain things. You know, say a certain, you know, just crazy thoughts of like, you will do, you have to do, all these do. And Paul's saying, no, if you know Jesus, you're free. You don't have to follow those 1,000 rules that they've made up. They're not even scriptural for crying out loud, but they were just tenacious about having them to come back to their level. We need to be free, not for your, even for yourself, but for the rest of this world. If we're just going to operate on the same level that everybody else operates, God didn't set us free for that reason. He set us free so that we would be a witness, so that we bring his glory to people. And all those kind of things. It's been happening, this idea. And this is why I have to make all these points, put all this thing into our foundation. It's been happening for thousands of generations. You can use word Judaizers. You can use words of people that are distracted, people that are false doctrine, all those kind of things. You can use any terminology you want, happening for thousands of years. I say it today. It's going to start happening as soon as I stop talking. For generations that keep coming until Jesus comes away. People are going to want to keep putting you into this box of rules, this box of ideas that here's the idea of Christian or something. But God is saying you've got to separate yourself from the fleshly thinking and get honking spiritual, man. You got to get filled up with the Spirit of God so that you can actually live this out and walk this out. The very last point here is verse 31. So we see that this kind of recap verse, right? Therefore. Oh, we could just preach therefores all day long. Just such a great recap thought. Therefore, brothers, you're not children of slave woman, but you're of the free woman. We are children of freedom. We are children that are set free. We have a promise. We have an inheritance. We have an eternal destination. That's who we are. Remember when I said all of that to have a sip of water. Actually, I got really thirsty there. Before I make my final statement here, so we gathered all that information. We kind of understand that the setting in Galatia and all these different places, the Apostle Paul teach and all those confusing thoughts up there. So we've got this idea. Now we understand we want to be people of the Spirit and the promise and the inheritance, not fleshly. So what does that look like? You know, we're born of a free woman, in a sense, with Sarah. And so, why is that so important? Remember last week I spoke about this. I knew I was going to preach this sermon. God had already given it to me. And I talked about baptism. I talked about the water. And we talk about when we go down into the water, we just die to ourselves. We die to our will. We die to all the things in the past. And then we come out of the water alive. We come alive for Christ. We're filled with the Spirit. And all the other stuff is dead. When we talked about in the Old Testament when Moses walked through the Red Sea and the army chased after them, the water swallowed them up and they died. They were dead. We talked about the story in the New Testament when Jesus came and he entered a land and there was this man that was filled with a legion of demons. There was just this army of Satan and they went into the pigs and they died in the water and they stayed dead. And I don't want to get off topic. I don't want to get you distracted, but why would you ever go back to something that's dead and try and give it CPR? You know, why would you get the paddles on them? Like, why would you do that? You wouldn't. But we do it all the time, don't we? We go, oh, that's the old me, or that's the way it is, or I've been dealt this bad hand, and we try and revive something that's dead. And then we hold it and we go, there's nothing here. There's nothing for me because it's blinking dead. We need to get free in Jesus' name. Do you understand that? Stop going to, a dog goes back to his vomit. Why would they do that? It's disgusting. Don't act like an animal. get saved, get set free. I hope you get that point. I wanted to stay that all for like 2 weeks for crying out loud. Don't go back and revive dead things. Get alive. You're free. It's your choice, though. Your choice. I could preach it all day. You read it all the time. Just like those people had the Old Testament. They read it all the time, but there was no freedom in it. It was a law. We're stuck. You don't have to be stuck. Isn't that just the most wonderful thing you could ever hear? I am not stuck here. There's a future for me. I have the Spirit of God living inside. My inheritance is wonderful. And everything else can just die. I mean, don't judge, you know, don't start cutting off all my friends and family, all that kind of stuff. You guys are a burden, man. You got to give them a pass. You got to die, you know. No, no, no. Bring them along for the ride, for crying out loud. But I really hope that resonates with you. So that anytime your own, you got two options here, right? Your own thoughts will remind you of like, I'm not doing so well, or I'm struggling, or there's this thing. And I want you to say to that, you're dead. God's overcome that. You are dead. And then the other thought, too, is you got your own thoughts that you struggle with, but then you've got the enemy feeding you all kinds of fun stuff. Because he just piggybacks on what you're already thinking, right? And oh my gosh, that is terrible. Oh, that's terrible. I'm terrible. Ah. And all of a sudden you say, whoa! You just speak right into that. You're dead. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are dead. Because I'm free. I have freedom. I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. I have an inheritance, and I'm not going to let that stuff drag me down in Jesus' name. Somebody honk it. Say amen for crying out loud. Okay, let's close in a prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, as much as I just really like to have fun and joke around, it's because we're serious about being free, God. We want to be free. Your word teaches us again and again in every scripture, every page and every word and every book. It says about you and your freedom that you've given us. Through Jesus Christ, we can have the Spirit of God. I pray that if there's anybody here today, anybody watching online that doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, that they would receive it right now in Jesus' name. Any wall that they've built up, these preconceived ideas, these Judaizing thinking that we've just talked about would just all be broken down in Jesus' name so the Spirit of God could just walk freely inside their hearts, freely inside their mind. Father, if any of us are here, we're struggling in our minds, a confusing place. I thank you, Lord, that you said that, you know, you can make new ways in our minds. Our ways are not your ways. Your thoughts, not our thoughts. You can reform our minds. I pray that you would set up guardrails right now in Jesus' name. I pray that those areas that we've been tempted with, that we had addictions to, would just be cut off in Jesus' name. There would be no more thoughts around that. And that every thought, every idea in our mind would lead straight to God. Lead straight to your word. We would just desire to be close to you in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.